are here, we make change to your life in every way. We expand on your mind so you're never the same. In your health, in your wealth, in your body and soul, pushing you to live life completely whole. So you grow and achieve all this purpose to be. We expect nothing less, no more mediocrity. We are greater.
All right, all right. What's going on, guys? This is Dexter and Tanya Scott of The Upgraders. This is our Upgraders show where we add value in every area of your life. One of the things that we like to say is, hey, listen, everybody has a story. Everybody has value. So we want to thank you for joining our broadcast on today. Now, today's show is going to be a little different, right? Our interview with our CEO that's coming up, he's going to actually entertain some questions. So we actually have some live audience people that are watching. They're going to shoot us some questions, and we're going to make sure that we get these questions answered by our special guest on today. So let me read a brief bio of our guest so you'll know exactly who you're listening to. All right, this is Mr. Troy Woods. He is a CEO. He's a husband and a father of two. He's also a nationally published photographer and CEO of Clark Bailey Media. Two of his primary passions are working with fathers to increase fatherhood awareness and helping small business owners navigate the world of social media and marketing. So from The Upgraders, we want to welcome CEO, Mr. Troy Woods. Troy, how are you doing today, sir?
What's going on, you two? It's a pleasure to be here, man. You know, anytime we have a chance to talk, we just make sure we got to keep it in the time frame, but it's always a good time, man. It's always fun just being around you guys, and I'm really happy for what you guys are doing. I think that this group and your Upgraders project is amazing, and I'm looking forward to all the lives that you guys are going to impact together.
Oh, man, listen, we really appreciate that, and likewise, we appreciate you. You know, Troy and I, we're business partners, we're friends, and Troy and I do a lot of dialogue in Facebook Messenger. I think Facebook Messenger is like it's where you and I get an opportunity, man, to just talk and share different business ideas. That's why we're excited as The Upgraders to have you on our show today. So I know that everybody's listening. You know, these guys want to know, who is Troy Woods?
Yes.
You know, yeah.
No, we're just waiting, anticipating that. Who is Troy Woods? I mean, even now as we're sitting here together, we have someone saying, that's why his lighting is so good, so much of a fire. You know, a lot of times people don't know who we are. They don't know everything that we do. So we wanted to come here today, and we're excited to be able to share. And that's the first thing we want to know, Troy, is who are you? Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Wow. Well, the bio was a short description, but, you know, I'm a native Washingtonian. I grew up here in Washington, D.C. It's funny, somebody asked me the question yesterday. I've only been out of this area for about 4 years of my life. My stepfather was in the Air Force. So I lived in Guam for 4 years, and that's where I really got my first experience with different cultures and seeing how really the other side of the world works. And, you know, that 4 years, even though I was young, it truly changed my life. It changed a lot of the trajectory of my life. Like the bio say, you know, I'm a husband, I'm a father of two kids. I have a son and a daughter. My son's the oldest. And I'm a photographer, but I'm a creative. I was laughing when the comment about the light came in. I like all things creative. I'm an artist, I guess, but to me that seems kind of like a bougie title. So I just say I'm a creative. I just love what I do, man. I love helping people. I've camouflaged being a geek through, you know, it's kind of good that all this stuff is finally caught up, because, you know, back in the day, being a nerd really wasn't a cool thing. I'm able to expose my nerdhood through marketing and different things like that, and understanding, you know, really what makes everything tick. And I mean, the baseline is the internet. The internet literally controls everything now. Mm-hmm. And so I've spent a lot of time in self-development and personal learning just so I can be better for myself, for my family, for my businesses, but at the same time, you know, help people try to navigate what's going on, because for the average person, it can be a lot to consume. And so, you know, people often ask me, like, how did that start? I think it started as soon as I found out that Kelly was pregnant with our first child, our son.
Right.
Yeah, my whole world changed. Most people don't know the story of our business, Clark Bailey. They're like, well, your name is Troy. Well, our business is named after our children. And okay. So the ironic thing about that is we just returned from shooting a destination wedding in Mexico. Our 10-year anniversary is in next week. And on our honeymoon, we were in Mexico.
Wow.
We came up with the name of the business and the children on the honeymoon.
Okay.
Wow.
All right. Hey, sure. I'm sorry. I got to stop you there because I need our listeners to really understand it. So you named your company,
right,
Clark Bailey Media, after your children.
Right. My son's name is Clark. My daughter's middle name is Bailey.
Okay. Hey, okay. That's awesome. And look, we're going to revisit. You guys said you just got back from right. Mexico. We're going to ask you a little bit about that because we know that Mexico was cool. But yeah, right. So go ahead and continue, man. This is great information for us.
It was important. It was important to me. You know, most photographers name their business after themselves. And I just believe in business. You know, if it's good to own it, everybody loves the perks that come along with being an entrepreneur. But at some point in time, you have to be able to remove yourself at times from the business and the business be able to function. So for me, naming the business, that was a legacy move. It was a move to, like, you know, so something that we build it and something that our kids can carry on and already have their name attached to it. So we're kind of giving them a leg up more so than even our parents did for our generation. And wow. So everything that we did with that had a purpose behind it. And, you know, and I think my son, he doesn't articulate it as a yet, but I think knowing or seeing that his name is attached, that when I'm going out here doing it, his name is attached to what we're doing. You know, it's just like my daughter wrote on my whiteboard. She said, Clark Logan Bailey Photography. You know, so that's a little bit about who I am. I mean, you know, the biggest thing for me, and this is where, you know, I'm just like everybody else trying to figure some things out. Mm-hmm. I feel as though this fatherhood initiative is probably going to end up being one of the end games for me, just because of, you know, when you're attached to something that you're passionate about, it's a different feeling that you have.
Right.
You just kind of, it's one of those things that you can just talk and don't realize that 2 hours has gone by. You're just right. Kind of flowing in your purpose. And so the lives that we've been able to impact, even at the small scale at this point, mm-hmm. have truly, like, blown me away, you know, and you get into that dynamic of men, and I'm sure we'll talk about this, but
yeah,
men being able to talk to men and different things like that, and guys calling you out the blue. I mean, I got a call from Miami yesterday from wow. a guy that I literally had a 2-minute conversation with 9 years ago in Vegas, but he's been watching things and he just had to reach out. And so it's things like that I do, and then understanding the world in which we live in, and we enjoy so many things as far as technology and our business. But the one thing that I see is entrepreneurs are mm-hmm. falling in love or becoming romantic about these tools. And right. you know how it is. And if you fall in love with something, a lot of times you get nostalgic about it. And one of the things of being an entrepreneur is being able to really change and pivot on a dime.
Right.
Now, a lot of big Fortune 500 companies don't have that capability because they have so many processes in place and people. But as a, you know, as a small business, you need to be able to pivot on a dime. And so, or you know, that's one of the things that I'm helping people with, and understanding that this thing is really just getting started.
Wow. You know what? You just mentioned something, Troy, I think is really awesome. Tanya and I had for the last couple of hours, we were with Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank. All right. So, I mean, that's a heavy name, man. So listen, you just said something, Troy, that Kevin said from the stage. He said that when small businesses hit $1 million, right, they need to be able to pivot because things change. He said when they hit $5 million, if they're not able to pivot, then they start losing business.
Right.
So you just said something that was key. What? That's incredible, right?
Yes, incredible.
Yeah.
And even listening to you and what you're talking about, you touched on some things. One, you talked about the passion, but also hearing you, you know, talking about how did you put it, with anybody pretty much getting ready to get started with anything. And there are a lot of things that you've had in mind. So back in the day, they called you a geek. Back in the day, they called you a nerd. And this is something you didn't embrace, but you embrace now. And what you've done is brought that forth and you're applying it to what it is that you're doing. So with this fatherhood initiative, is it an initiative, a movement? Tell us exactly, what is it that you're seeing? What's your vision for that?
So, you know, I don't have a backstory of like personally an abusive childhood or anything like that. My situation was crazy because I didn't find out truths about my dad until I was like 24 years old. So I had missed out on a lot of those key moments growing up. You know, my stepfather and my mom broke. So the deal was my mom, got remarried before we went over to Guam. Everything was great over there. So I thought, I found out later that they had issues while we were over there. So when we came back, that even though I was mad that he left those moments with me that I'm like, man, in this situation, that father not being there. And so the thing is, a lot of people start entrepreneurial journeys because they want the money, they want the fame. And having those things, I'm not going to say is a problem, but for me, when I left my job in 2014, my main reason was I wanted to spend more time with my children. I didn't, you know, I live in D.C. I didn't want to be flying across town, missing games, having people pick them up. I'm like, yo, I'm going to go home and I'm going to run my business. Well, although my motive was great, my execution was poor. And meaning, you know, I'm coming home like, wow, so this is like really what it's like being a photographer.
And so was it in 2014 is when you stepped out as a photographer full time?
Right. It was July 1st, 2014.
Okay.
I came home in July and this image, you know, because when you work in a creative space, it's very easy to be ego driven.
Mm-hmm.
So people are constantly complimenting you on your work.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. This stuff isn't bad. They're really not going to tell you. You know what I mean? We live in a I'm a stroke your ego type of society. We've really been blessed to be who we are. But at the same time, if I can teach the next person or show the next person, look, don't despise a 9-to-5 just because you want to live a full time entrepreneur. Yeah, I mean, you can lose your job. We all know that. You know, we've all talked about that.
Yeah.
But if you're not fully ready, understand, appreciate that job, learn everything that you can learn out of that so you can apply it to your business. I think, I honestly think if people were to jump full time, you hate your job. I think if you were to jump an entrepreneur full time, if you had to go back, you'd be a better worker than you were before you left.
Yeah, that's true. I agree with that.
Yeah.
Now you have a different mindset of what your boss is looking for. I think it will propel you as opposed to getting caught up on what we see on social media and all the other distractions and the noise that are out there. So, you know, my thing was, it was important for me to show my kids not that having a job was wrong, because it's not. One of the things that we don't do, he said, the biggest wealth starter in families is life insurance. Even if you never get it to where your immediate dreams are, kind of in a roundabout way, that's everything, you know, as far as. And fatherhood for me drives all of that. You know, like every move I make now, it's about that your family can really leverage, if that makes sense.
Man, that's incredible. And, you know, you just got us thinking, you know, you and I've had really a lot of conversations pertaining to some things, the fatherhood stuff. And listen, I'm not going to let the cat out of the bag for everybody that's listening. True and I are working on some things, right, that we're going to do for men. So we want to make sure the guys get ready, right? We're coming with some things. But, man, thank you for sharing that, because I think it's just very important, you know, and it moves us on into, man, really, really understanding your expertise. And a lot of people have expressed interest in saying, hey, I'm looking forward to the information. Let's see what he has to offer. And I'll say this, guys, I'll put it to you like this. Troy mentioned he's a geek, right? Mm-hmm. I'm telling you right now, before Instagram comes out with an update, before Facebook comes out with an update, a couple of days before, I'm getting an inbox from Troy saying, hey, man, check this out. It's getting ready to come out. And I'm like, man, how does he know this stuff? Right?
And I'm so appreciative. Okay. Like, how does he amazing. Know?
How does he know what's happening? And I'm telling you guys, Troy's getting ready to get, he's getting ready to get in our grill about this social media stuff that we're doing because yes. it is that much important. So Troy, man, we just want to let you loose, man. And just, okay. you know, tell us how we can, you know, we can help grow
build our
who
brand.
We are, build our brand, build our businesses on social media, man. So if you can just shout yeah, us
I'm
out there, man.
Remember how you put it earlier? You said the yeah. internet is our what? What did you say again?
It's the backbone of everything.
The backbone of anything.
The backbone of anything.
Yeah, that's
the
good.
Internet.
So that's why, you know, and I'm a big proponent of don't put everything only on social media. You know, like for me as a photographer, I tell people, you know, if Facebook goes away tomorrow, a lot of your families, your memories are gone away because y'all don't want to print pictures anymore. You know,
right.
so there's a time to enjoy technology and then there's a time that traditional still works, which kind of leads into everybody that runs a group knows you can pin a post in a group. You know, because we talked about this a while ago that Facebook is putting a lot of emphasis on groups.
So mm-hmm. true. Yep.
So, you know, everybody knows what happened with the election and everything. And I'm sure everybody, if you have subscriptions and stuff, you were getting emails last week about policy updates and all kind of, I mean, it was crazy. I mean, again, the internet literally runs everything. But one of the things we have to understand as entrepreneurs, your business has to be able to pivot on a dime.
Mm-hmm.
And your marketing does as well.
Yeah.
When you're building your brand, before you got into your business, you were on Facebook. What did people know you for on Facebook? That's why they sent you a friend request. They didn't send you a friend request because of your business, more than likely. You mm-hmm. know, they sent you a friend request because they were interested in some aspect of your life.
Right.
You felt a connection. And that's what the social and social media is supposed to do. It's supposed to build connections. Boss moms, we see that.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, I don't really see too much for dads.
Yeah, you know? There you go, man. That's good. That's
and
good.
And I'm like, to me, it's like, you know, I'm going to be honest, guys, you know, especially in direct sales industry, I use this as an excuse, but then I had to change it from an excuse to an opportunity.
Mm-hmm.
We always say, oh, women run 83% to 87%. Of the direct sales industry are women. The success stories come out of that demographic. It's a little bit more narrow as far as specific women, but 83 to 87% is leaning toward women. Man, men don't have a chance. Then I started thinking, what would you do if you could capture the 13 to 17%?
Uh-huh. That's good.
13 to 17% of any market share is huge. But as far as men, and this is any business. Men are underserved
mm-hmm.
as far as our approach. It's kind of like we'll do all this stuff because traditionally, you know, women are visual. Women like to see the Pinterest thing. Women like to see that, but guys like it as well. But when you get their attention, you have to be able to serve them the information that they want. And so I decided, you know what? I'm going to be true to who I am. Instead of going wild, I'm going to go narrow and I'm going to focus on my particular audience, the people that have an ear to hear the pitch of my voice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's why we have to understand there's a set of people that are designed to hear your message.
Right.
It's why we have, if you have 10 churches that all preach the word, so to speak, what makes them different is the delivery.
Right.
That's right.
It's the same thing in business. You have to understand. Don't worry about everybody else. Worry about your particular people. And so, guys, I'm gonna be honest with you guys. Let's look at the seriousness of this. We ride the fence too much on social media. We ride the fence. We like, I don't want to offend this person. I don't want to offend that person. I don't want them thinking that of me. I don't want them thinking this of me.
Mm.
And so, we try to appease everybody in our social media posts. We either try to mimic people or we try to appease everybody.
Mm-hmm.
And you cannot do that. I was sharing with Dexter a couple of weeks ago, everybody that you know that has a name in social media and marketing, everybody, good, bad, and indifferent, everybody that you know of, there's a form of polarity with them, meaning they go so hard for their cause, you either like it or you don't.
Right.
You either with them or you're not.
Right.
You know what I mean? And they don't ride the middle. Look, yeah. This is where I am. This is what I believe in. I'm for veganism. So everything, if you don't like it, you can unfriend me. I mean, they really go hard.
Yeah.
And what that does is when they send that message out, those people who are designed to hear that pitch in their voice, mm-hmm. it draws them into the message.
Right.
Now, even through that, you'll pick up other people. But do you want to have 10,000 people following you and only 30 people listening? Or do you want 300 people following you and 250 people listening? Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? We get caught up in the numbers too much. Oh, I got 1,000 followers. I got 5,000 followers. Our fatherhood initiative is called 300 Fathers. Everybody like, what's 300 mean? We're like, why'd you pick that number? Everything about me now is about not small numbers, but it's about specific numbers. There were two instances, and here's the funny part, from where things were cut down to 300. There's a story of Gideon's army.
Right.
Yeah. 10,000
to 300.
Yes.
There's a Spartan warrior story where out of 10,000 soldiers, yeah, they took 300 out. So it's 10,000 and 300. It kind of goes back to my point about, okay, yeah, we got 10,000 soldiers, but I need 300 that are going to be focused and dedicated to this cause, and we can change the world with a small group of focused people.
That's good. Like, mm-hmm.
Because you don't have to worry about this person's belief, this person, you know what? Give me 300, give me a small group of people
that's
supremely focused like me. It was funny, yeah, in the movie, real quick, in the 300 movie, this guy was trying to become part of the 300, you know, he was, I don't want to be insensitive, but he didn't look like the other soldiers. He kind of, you know, some things happened with his DNA, what have you. Mm-hmm. And so he was trying to show the guy, I can fight, you know, I can do the sword. So he was like, do a lunge. And he did this and he said, hold the shield up or something like that. And the guy couldn't get the shield up. And the guy said, we can't allow you to be here because if one person messes up, the whole thing comes down.
Right. That's good.
Together as a unit. All of us are strong together. And yeah. So my mentality is to focus in on a group of people. So with fathers, so here's how I did my audience. And here's how you guys have to figure out too. We've seen nurses, moms, you know, I'm not trying to be funny. You could have a group of Uber drivers that are maybe trying to come together to do something. Find your community. You know what I mean? And then you start to bring things together. So what I did was I looked at fathers and I'm like, all right, if I'm going to do this and be this specific to a group, I got to really get these guys what they want. Because men, first of all, we don't really talk publicly a lot, right?
Thank you, Troy. Thank
you. We're not the type that's going to come out and say, you know, I'm kind of feeling like this. We don't do that. We're not, honestly, and there's no diss, we don't even tell our wives everything because we feel our shoulders are built to bear a lot of it. So with me designing this culture, in this movement, what are some things that are important to men? Camaraderie is very important to men. Yeah. We love competition in sports. Our health is very important. So now I'm looking at, oh, wow, I can tie this into that because all men need to be healthy. Mm-hmm. We like, you know, we just, there's certain things that I knew our group liked. And so now my job is to provide that or to set up something where it can bring it all together and people have a safe place.
Right.
And so when you do that now, I've had so many people just stop me out of the blue and say, man, I've been watching. And that's another thing. Men will watch. We won't say anything. Because right. We want to check out the fruit. We want to see, let me see if you really about this or whatever. Yeah. And they're going to watch you for a while. And when they come out and tell you, it's going to have so much impact because you're going to understand as a man, it took a lot for you to come to another man and lay all of this out.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And so that was my thought process when I started creating this group. And now everything I do is about fatherhood. You know, I have to constantly talk to Kelly, my wife, about this because it's a non-traditional thing. You know, my wife, she still has her 9-to-5.
Mm-hmm.
And hey, health insurance, you know.
That's right. But, yeah.
It's weird for me to drop my kids off and pick them up. Like literally, like at first, people were looking at me like, this dude, I can't call him a deadbeat because he's with his kids, but what does this guy do? You know what I mean? And so your lifestyle, now we live in a world where you really have to define things. You got to define roles in business and in life, because the way that our thing is set up, like, you know, even family members are looking like, yo, like, what's going on? Like, you always home. But they don't understand the late nights when everybody's asleep and you up like, I got to make this work. I got to figure this out. I got to, how can I change my marketing? How can I do this? How can I do that? But part of being an entrepreneur is figuring it out. Mm-hmm. The game always changes. And so what I see people kind of, not to get off track, what I see people doing is we care too much about what people think. Mm-hmm. We worry about too much what people are doing. Mm-hmm. Instead of focusing on our own thing, we get distracted too much. And we aren't professional enough to understand everything you do on social media is marketing, everything. Even when you're not talking about your business, you're marketing.
Right.
I wouldn't be on Facebook if it wasn't for business. Does that mean every post is about business? No. But people do business with those that they know, they like, and they trust. And the only way that they're going to know that is if you tell them. But we can't be, it's like you go on Instagram and people have private accounts. It's like, why are you even on Instagram if I can't see what you're doing? Now, if it's a family account that you're sharing, that's fine. But we have to understand that people give up privacy for time now. You know, we want to be so guarded. I don't want to give you my credit card information. Nobody's already got your credit card information. You don't even know it.
Right.
You know what I mean? So we have to be more professional, more dedicated to perfecting our crafts, getting better at what it is that we do, becoming SMEs, subject matter experts. And whatever it is that your business is, you become the authority. You take it over. Here's the fact. And this I don't share with everybody because it's kind of a tactical advantage. People are deathly afraid to do video.
Yes, they are.
They're deathly afraid to do video. But the ones that do video win the game. Yeah. When you do video, because there's such an overwhelming percentage of people that are scared to do it, when you do it, you immediately look like the expert.
Yeah.
You could be saying,
ooh, that's good.
Share your life, man. You know, don't be afraid to let people in. You don't have to put everything out there, but people want to get to know you, and then they'll do business with you. I know a lot in that.
No, you said a lot, but it was good. Yeah, that was good, Troy, because one of the things that we've done is, you know, Tanya and I, and I have to encourage my wife to do lives.
Yes,
I mean,
she does.
to get yourself out there to do extra things. And I know the people that are listening are saying, hey, either I'm good at it or I'm not good at it. But basically what you're telling us is we need to find a lane that's something that we're good at. Find that lane and just start progressing in the direction of being, you don't even have to be an expert, but just go after that. If that's what you want to do, stop trying to please everybody, you know, and just bring it in. And I think that's awesome, man. We had a guy that was on stage today at the event with Kevin O'Leary. He said, you know what? I don't care what other people think about me. I don't care at all. And he said between, I think it was 7 p.m. at night and like 1 a.m. in the morning, 2 a.m. in the morning. He's saying, while you're asleep is when I'm making my millions. I mean, that's basically what he said. So he's fine-tuned on doing what he's doing at that hour. He doesn't care about what other people think. Yep. So we appreciate you saying that. That makes a big difference.
I mean, you can have a business, but wrap your passion around it, meaning serve your audience with your business. Don't worry about serving, because here's the thing. If you serve your audience, you can tailor your marketing message to your audience. That's the key, is figuring out how to position a marketing message to reach your audience. See, we do the fire hose method. We cut the thing on and we just spray everything and hope the stuff sticks.
Right.
Well, if I'm in a particular business where I want to focus at, I'm a plumber, but no, I'm a photographer, right? Mm-hmm. So I may want to share something with the photography community. I can speak to them at a level no one else can, because I understand what it's like to be them.
Right.
So my marketing message, I can tailor my marketing message in so that they can understand it and hear it, and I can make it apply to them. If I'm being general, which is quote unquote pleasing everybody, I can't do that. I have to go, you can go narrow and then you can go wide, but you can't go wide and then go narrow. I mean, you have to really become known for something. And when you're known for it, people trust you, just like the iPhone. For like years, I had people calling me before the phone was announced. I watched all the developer conferences. I know all the specs. I know all the other stuff. And people will call me, and I literally would tell people what to buy in the store. And I'm not getting paid by Apple. Right. But they know that that was a big interest and a passion of mine, so they trusted me.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so they went and spent their money off of a recommendation that I gave them. And I'm not even affiliated with the company.
Yeah.
So if you can become that person in your lane, in your business, in your service, in your product, then people will trust you. So let's break it down. If you're in the health and wellness space, you need to be a professional in the health and wellness space. Like, you need to be making posts about the benefits of drinking water. Don't just post your product. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? You need to tell people, you know, losing what, you know, in the weight loss industry, it's easy. Who wants to lose weight? But how about telling people every pound that you lose is 4 pounds off your knees? You know, putting information out there that's health related, but not pitching a product.
Mm-hmm.
You need to provide value before you ask for the sale.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Providing the value gives you the trust. Then they'll buy whatever you have because you've given this so much to them that now it's like, yeah, I'm going to do it. Or if you're writing a book or something, you've constantly put so much into the marketplace for free. Of course, when you write a book, people are going to feel obligated to buy it because you've given them so much over the year or two. Like, I got to support him because he's done so much for me that, you know, this is a way that I can support him. I just think that we need to be specific and stop being so wide. And if you be specific, you're going to feel funny. You're going to feel weird for a month or two, but eventually your audience will start being pulled towards you and it'll start to make sense. You don't need 3,000 likes on the picture. You only need 30 likes from people that are really engaged in your content and what you're putting out there. And like they say, I hate this saying, but it's the truth. Your comfort zone is your broke zone. So if you're not comfortable making videos, you gotta make videos.
Yeah. Wow. That is good, man. Listen, so we're talking about the upgrade, guys. We're being upgraded. You're listening to this. We're being upgraded and all the information that we're getting. That's why we just had to have you up here. You've dropped some nuggets on us. We're talking about streamlining, being narrow, becoming focused. Being focused in on what it is that you want to do so that you can become good at it and get the videos done. Guys, so you said the video, what did you say about the broke zone? Say that again, Troy. That was good.
Your comfort zone is your broke zone.
Your comfort zone is your broke zone, especially in these days of social media. People have to get to know who you are.
Yeah, because when hearing you say every time you go on social media, when we make a post, tweet, or what have you, we're always marketing there, really. Mm-hmm. I was like, wow, that's good. And I don't think we think about it in that way. But for you to say that, and we're going to be bringing this to a close in just a minute. But for you to say that, kind of talk to us about what that looks like, because I've heard something recently, even where people were talking about. Actually, this gentleman was just saying how, you know, we paint the picture that we want people to see on social media, but it may not really be, it doesn't always show me as a real person. If every time you see me, I'm just happy, you know, like there's nothing that ever happens in my life, you know, what have you. And I listen, and I get that, you know, because one of the things that we do value is being real with people. And we do establish wonderful relationships with people. And we know that people trust us. And that's exactly what we want, because we bring you truth. We bring you realness and so forth. But like you said, every time I go on marketing, coach us on that a little bit. If I'm marketing and I'm not necessarily posting anything and talking about my business or my service, but I just want to share me. I want to talk. Talk to me a little bit about, or talk to us a little bit about that as well.
So the thing is here, you know, every business owner, you study your metrics. You look at what your numbers are doing. And we always equate that to sales numbers. Mm-hmm. But when we're marketing now, you know, before, you know, people would do radio ads, TV ads, and they kind of had to get the numbers back from the ratings and all the other stuff. Now our rating system is likes and comments. And so if you're posting something, you have immediate feedback on if it's resonating with your audience by likes and comments, right? So if, for instance, I know my highest engagement posts are when I talk about my children, our dog, and a lot of times stuff about photography. If I'm not pitching, I'm just sharing stuff. Mm-hmm. A lot of times we just keep doing stuff, and like the world can go look at your timeline and see that it's not working. I mean,
right?
Wow.
I can't be like, wow, the only people that like his posts are people from his company. You know what I mean? So the world, that's the bad part. The world can see your metrics. You know what I mean? So if I have something that's under not really performing, I delete it a lot of times. Like, unless I just need the message.
Excellent nugget right there.
Yeah.
I delete stuff. Like, you're not going to come on and just see a wall of shame when you come on my Facebook page. Like,
okay, wait a minute. Let's get that out there really good, Troy. Now, I want everybody who's listening to understand that. Basically, you're saying you're looking at your wall where you are, and if you don't have a lot of engagement, that tells you that that's not really doing anything. Nope. So you delete it.
Take that post down.
I delete it.
That's good.
Sometimes I post something knowing I'm going to delete it in a couple hours. I just need it to arrive for a certain amount of time.
Right.
And why is that?
You don't leave advertisements and meeting notes and banner. You don't leave that on your wall because you just look like a penny saver magazine when they go to your thing. They're like, they just looking at all these ads. Like, you get the coupon books in the mail, mm-hmm. and it got all the coupons in it. Your site, your Facebook page are looking like a coupon site.
That's good.
So I keep it, because here's the thing that people have to understand. People come on social media to get an escape from their reality.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't believe me, go into any major city during lunchtime and look.
Right.
People almost walking in the traffic because they're looking at their phone. They going in the break room, taking their phone out of the lockers, looking at it. I just need a break. My boss getting on my nerve. Let me see what's going on Facebook. Mm-hmm. They're not necessarily coming on Facebook to be sold. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So you have to, like, when people engage as well, it's very important that you engage right back. So if somebody comments, comment back. Because what's going on is, when you make a post on Facebook, and we've talked about this before, Facebook is only going to show a very small percentage of your friends list, your post initially. If it gets engagement, they start expanding the range. And so you ever notice how you'll make a post 3 months ago, somebody will find that post and comment, and all of a sudden that post is hot again?
Yeah, it's back in the feed. Yeah.
That's because Facebook is like, oh, it's still relevant. Put it out there, let more people see it.
Yeah.
So the first 30 minutes of any post is the most critical. So if you're putting out an important post, you need to keep your phone nearby. And when somebody likes it or comments, go in there, you comment, you ask engaging questions. What do you ask them questions to get them talking. You know what I mean? Don't, if it needs to go offline, but you want people to see this is a hot post. What are these people talking about? And then other people see it because this post stays at the top of my feed. What are they talking about?
Right.
And so when people jump in and you pull them in the conversation, like I do this with the NBA playoffs all the time because it's like barbershop talk. Once I hook them, mm-hmm. I get them in the comment section. We just going at it the whole game. And I'm keeping that thread hot. And eventually, their friends that see it, because it's public, their friends that see it are like, who's this Troy dude? Now they're looking at my profile. But if all I'm doing is selling stuff, they don't know who I am. Oh, he's trying to. They need to know who I am. And then they send the friend request.
Right.
And that's how you start the conversation and you build the trust, because I already know we got the NBA in common.
Right. Man, that's good, Troy.
That is so good.
So many things are going. We're gonna have to bring you back on the show because this is just totally awesome. But as you like, if I were to go out now, or Troy, if you guys that are listening, if we were to go out live now or just make a post and say LeBron sucks. Right. Man, you might get 300 comments, you know, and people just going to be going nuts. And man, you talked about making posts your highest rating post. Right. And I found out about that from you because we talked about it probably months ago that you told me about it. So when I throw out something out and if it's not acting within 15 or 20 minutes, if it's not good in good rotation, I'll delete it and just get it off of my page to start cleaning my page up. But something that threw me for a loop is interesting. Tanya and I post a lot of information, motivational stuff, but I posted about a nosebleed that I got from this pollen.
Right.
I got over 100 comments. I got people in my inbox giving me remedies for a nosebleed.
It was just
circulating. I'm like, oh my God, these people, they are really helping me with my nosebleed. And I thought it was something, but it's relevant. It's what people want to talk about. They want to help.
They want to help.
People need, and I mean, this is the sad truth, man. You got people that don't even talk to their spouse. You know what I mean? It's like, I mean, I'm not trying to get deep, but they get on Facebook all day long. I mean, this is like, pay attention to trends. Y'all think Siri and Alexa and Cortana and all of that is just something cute. That's the future.
Yeah.
We thought the Jetsons was a joke until we started living in the Jetson age.
That's right.
We are going to be talking everything going forward. I saw something today. The phone, as convenient as it is a point of friction. People have to grab the phone, log in, as opposed to saying, hey, Alexa, order me some Tide.
Yeah.
Hey, this, what's my schedule for today? Schedule, like, we're talking about technology where I can literally say, I need to schedule a meeting with Dexter. It'll look at my calendar, his calendar, and give us recommendations based on what cities we're in, when's the best time for both of us to meet based on our schedule.
Wow.
All from voice.
That is awesome.
So we have to understand, even though it's in the very small stages right now, as a business owner, it's your duty to point your business in that direction. So I'm not going to say this is going to be the final episode, but if you think about everything futuristic that we've seen from Star Trek to the Jetsons, everything was predicated on voice. Everything.
Yeah.
And so it would behoove you to, you can even do things like Alexa skills where you can talk and presentations come up. This is a real thing. This isn't like concept. Like you can literally go Google this stuff. And it's people already doing it, but the problem is we wait till it get mainstream and then we always miss the bus.
Right. There you go.
That's good. Here right now. And they're fitting. You're gonna watch your telephones and watch your computers. Okay, Siri, turn my office lights on. That's at the front door, and it's turning all my stuff on in the house.
Right.
Like that's
right.
What's the score of the game? And it's telling you what the score is, you know. And so we have to understand and be on the cutting edge if you want to be successful with this. But again, guys, just to sum everything up, make sure you guys are being very specific in your marketing and your business. Speak to who you need to speak to.
Mm-hmm.
And we live in a very visual world. Everything you post needs to be as professional as possible.
Thank you. talk to us, man. We need to hear it.
I don't know, Jeff, we're ready for this one.
We know that look.
But I'm gonna say weight loss, right? If you're a trainer, if you're in a direct sales business and you got weight loss products, if you got anything in the health and wellness space, your ads need to be visually appealing. Like we understand you want to show dramatic results, but it is a way to do, like, you want, if you show a before and after picture, you want people to be like, wow, look at this. You don't want people to be like, wow, look at this. You don't, you want to lean in, not to sit back. You know what I mean? you want it's two different things that we're working with here.
You so lean in, not sit back.
Right. You want, you know, because everything is marketing. Marketing right. has to be visually appealing regardless of what the subject is.
Right.
That
right.
is why Instagram and Pinterest are killing it, because mm-hmm. they are visual platforms.
Right.
All right. So don't, and another thing, don't repost what you see somebody else posting for if it doesn't fit your audience.
Yes.
Like me, I'm going to show a lot of before and afters of men because I know I have the Father's Initiative. So I got a lot of men watching.
Right.
You know what I mean? And a lot of men, they're not going to talk public, but they want to see themselves. You know what I mean? And so that's all, guys. I mean, I'm not going, you know, I know a lot of people will end up saying this, but you understand what I'm saying, man. Make sure you stay professional, man. Just because it's easy to do it doesn't mean you should just throw anything out there.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean? And a lot of times that extra effort that you're taking is what's going to get you to sell in business, or it's going to get you a new whatever customer or even people to appreciate more of what you do, or a new follower or whatever. And just be subject matter experts. Don't look like you just slinging this stuff and you just doing it as a hustle. Mm-hmm. People need to see that you take this as serious as you take your 9-to-5, whatever your business is.
Right.
You know, like, he's really serious, or she's really serious about this. Like, mm-hmm. it's not just, and you got to invest. If you don't invest in yourself, if you're not taking classes, if you have a problem on camera, you need to learn how to speak better. Because I know I'm from D.C. If you're from this area, I'm sure a lot of times this comes out. It is what it is. I try to correct it. But I also listen to a lot of people and understand you be yourself, but you also have to be your best self.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You always put your best foot forward. Don't go live at the wrong time. Like, if you turn it up, don't go live. Please. Like,
yeah.
We sabotage ourselves.
Yes.
Right.
Yes.
You can't be a business person and a party animal on the same page. You can't exactly. really you can't do that, because people are like, I don't want to do business with something. I mean, you do what you do, but if you're in business, everything you post. Mm-hmm. You wonder why you only get certain type of people. Well, that's kind of what you're putting out there.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. And you know what, Troy, man, this has been great. We're going to have to get you on another show. Absolutely. Well, there's two things I wanted to say that I was thinking about. When you talked about the Fatherhood Initiative, it made Tanya and I, we thought about what we heard Kevin O'Leary say today. He said Monday through Friday, it's all business, right? It's all about business.
Right.
He said on the weekends, I think he said his father-in-law can't fly anymore. He flies the entire family and their friends, like if his sons have friends, and they fly and have dinner with his father-in-law. It's just for family. And I thought that was incredible, because he's taking the time out to be a father, to be that family man that he desires to do before he gets back in the grind. And another thing he said, which is key, and you talked about your social media presence. You've got to make sure that your social media is on tap. And I know that we didn't really get into this, but I want to really share it, is that once you put something out on social media, it stays there.
Can't get it back.
You can't pull it back. And, you know, we talk about Starbucks. When that accident happened, well, up in Philly, that CEO, he jumped right on it. He jumped on it to make the correction. Whether people agree with it or not, they're saying, oh, he's just stepping in to do that. But he did what he needed to do as a CEO. Because, man, Kevin said he has two cell phones. One is red.
Yeah, I love
it. He said every investment that he has, $1.8 billion worth of investments that he's responsible for, are tagged to that phone. Whenever that red phone goes off, he knows that he needs to get on it and get on it ASAP to put out any fires that happens with his investments.
Yep.
So, guys, I'm telling you, the information that you've gotten today from Mr. Troy Woods, it's been phenomenal, because he's added value to all of us by giving us some hint, about what we need to do on social media to help us with marketing. Tanya, anything else you want to share before we close the show?
Yeah, something. Quick second.
Yep, go right ahead.
Without going into too much detail, we saw this play out the last 2 days. We saw somebody, I didn't even think about this part of the example.
Yeah.
This is how impactful what you do is. we saw somebody, and I know he's writing it, make a tweet. Somebody tweeted something. They lost their job, and everybody attached to them lost their job.
Wow. Incredible.
From one tweet on social media, you impacted everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Once it goes out there, you cannot get it back. The message with that is stop posting when you're emotional.
Yes.
If you're emotional, don't post.
Don't post.
Don't hit the button.
Don't
because
do it.
Even if you delete it quickly, chances are somebody saw it that quick.
Saw it.
Right.
And took a snapshot of it too.
Yep. So I just wanted to say that real quick. But guys, I mean, I think what you all are doing is incredible.
Awesome. Hey, listen, Troy, man, we appreciate you. So listen, we're going to close out on the Upgrader show today. But hey, people want to get in touch with Clark Bailey Photography. We know you're a CEO. We know you wear many different hats. So let us know, man. Let the people know that's listening. Where can they get in touch with you if they need any information from you? Well, let's go ahead and get that.
So the website, you know, is clarkbailey.net, clarkbailey.net. But personally, you can find me at 300 Fathers everywhere. The number 300 Fathers, Instagram, Twitter, Gmail, everywhere. I've taken that on as my identity. I don't even use my name anymore.
Yeah.
Because I want everything kind of tied. I still have those other accounts, but they're not active.
Wow.
And so for photography, clarkbailey.net, for everything else, you can find me at 300 Fathers.
Awesome.
Yep.
Good deal. So, hey, guys, listen, that's been phenomenal. Thank you, Troy, for sharing this information with us. We appreciate you guys. Make sure you get in touch with Troy. And listen, this is Dexter and Tanya here. We are the Upgraders. If you want to get in contact with us, we have a few handles that you need to contact us on. Get us on our Facebook group, Design the Life of Your Dreams. Guys, we're funneling a lot of stuff into that group. You want to join us? Go to Design the Life of Your Dreams. You can find us on Facebook at The Upgraders. That's our business page, or at Dexter L. Scott, or at Tanya Joyner - Scott. You can also hit us up on Instagram at Dexter L. Scott and Tanya J. Scott. Listen, this has been The Upgraders coming to you live. We have a tagline that says, we may not know you,
but we know what's in you.
All right. We're going to see you on the next episode. Thanks a lot, guys. Thanks for listening.
So, The Upgraders. The Upgraders. The Upgraders. The Upgraders.